EPP, which changed its name from Echo Polska Properties back in June, Poland's largest retail property owner, posted a really solid distribution growth in double digits, 12% per share to 5.82 euro cents. That's at the halfway mark of its financial year. The JSE listed company is on target to deliver full year dividends between 11.6 and 11.8 euro cents. I've got Chief Executive Hadley Dean on the line. Welcome, Hadley. A good result for you, and you're edging closer towards your goal of becoming a pure retail player. How would you characterize the first half?
Well, the first half of the year was, what we did really is we delivered on what we said we were going to do, which was sell our offices or sell the first three of our offices at the back end of last year. We currently now have another three offices in the final stages of negotiation. We purchased a further maybe 300,000 square meters of retail assets in Poland. And, we're now one of the most dominant retail landlords in Poland. So I think the market and our shareholders are responding accordingly.
And Poland's an interesting country, especially for us in South Africa. We still seem to be having these ideological debates about capitalism and socialism. It's been described as an under-the-radar economic star by certain international analysts. We saw after the fall of communism back in 1989, Poland really wiped the hands of communism and socialism. And we saw the benefits of capitalism bringing fast food chains and shopping malls, as I said, lessons here for South Africa. Today, the country is the EU's sixth biggest economy. GDP per capita, for example, has overtaken the likes of Greece. It's catching up with Portugal. Yet, despite a lot of that outward success, there is a new push inside Poland for what is called solidarism. It's sort of capitalism with a social face. It's almost a third way. What does solidarism mean for the Polish economy?
Well, I think when you look at the Polish economy, and if we come back to, let's say, former Soviet times, what you saw in Poland is there are two things you need for consistent, let's say, growth going forward. There's just been a book written on Poland by one of the World Bank's top economists, and what he said when he studied the worldwide economies where you've had consistent growth, you need two things. One, you need sort of blood on the streets, as he says, which is everyone has to start from an equal base, which is exactly what happened in Poland. So when you look back at the history of Poland in terms of 1990, there was no quick privatization as you saw in some of the other markets, in Russia or Slovakia or in some of the other Central European markets. So privatization sort of took, 10 years. The second thing you need is democracy. So Poland now has seen a run of 25 consecutive years of positive GDP growth. And the key question is will this continue? Mm. There's actually only one other country that has seen the last 25 years of consecutive GDP growth, and that's Australia. But when you look at Poland and compare it to Germany, what you can see is the salaries in Poland are nearly one quarter of what they are in Germany. So the average monthly salary in Poland is 1,000 euros, and in Germany, it's 3,800 euros. So there's plenty of room for growth.
And that runway is really what's made Poland such an attractive market for so many REITs in particular. That said, there has been some sort of government interference. Retail sales have been banned on Sundays, or at least as far as I can read it, from two Sundays a month. That was back in February. What impact has that had on the retail sector overall?
Yeah. So, there are many countries in Europe which don't have, Sunday trading. But really, Poland is following what we saw was the Hungarian phenomenon when they banned Sunday trading. And what happened is in the first 3 months, you saw a drop in footfall. But quite quickly, people adopted their shopping habits. So what we're seeing now is a big increase in traffic on Mondays, and we're seeing a big increase in traffic on Fridays and Saturdays. And we suspect and project that throughout the rest of this year, the market will continue to adapt and we'll start seeing growth from early next year.
Now, back to that earlier question about the runway for growth, 25 consecutive years is really phenomenal. Some might say the economy is due for a correction of sorts. What's your medium-term prognosis for the Polish economy? What makes you confident you continue to do deals there and you've bought a couple of new projects in the capital as well? So you're still quite confident in the Polish story?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at the Polish economy, is that the public GDP debt is at 53%, so it's very, very low. The private GDP debt is in the mid-30s. So, you know, during the last financial crisis, Poland sneaked through. And I would expect if there was another financial crisis, given where wages are and given the low debt that the government can simply turn on the taps, I believe there's a high chance they would sneak through again. But when you look at Poland, I mean, you need to think of it as one of the things that is a bit frustrating for someone who's, let's say, lived and worked in Poland for 18 years is that people still have a misconceptions of Poland. They still think it's sort of been a 1980s grey concrete blocks, and it's a very, very vibrant country. So it's a country full of entrepreneurs. So what a lot of people don't know is there are 800,000 companies that are wholly Polish owned, which are small SMEs,
wow,
that are producing 40% of the exports of Poland. Now, when you compare that to Slovakia, where the top 20 companies, exporting companies, 19 of them are owned by foreign companies. So a lot of this wealth is also staying in the country. And the middle class has spread from the big cities out to the smaller regional cities, and you now have this sort of tipping point where Poland is now trading and behaving like Western European economies, and this is why the Russell FTSE Index will be upgrading Poland to develop market status into the top 24 countries in the world.
It really is a fantastic example of what can be achieved with the right policies. I wish some of our policymakers could spend a little while touring Poland rather than some of the other models we've seen from the opposition of late. Now, Redefine has taken its stake in EPP to just over 40%. It supported your 700 million rand book build earlier in the year. And you're going to be using that to help buy the King Cross Marsylin Shopping Centre. That's in the Polish city of Poznan. Just remind us why you didn't come to market for that particular capital raise.
Well, we did give everyone an opportunity to participate in the capital raise. But at the time, the share price was trading at below the price we'd agreed with Redefine. And so Redefine, this is where it's very helpful to have, let's say, an anchor investor like Redefine. And we didn't want to dilute the shares further. But we did give the market an opportunity to participate. But I mean, this was a yield of 7.3. It's 45,000 square meters. There's a brand new office park being built literally, you know, across the street, 10 meters away, which will add about between 12 and 15,000 people to the catchment area per day. And that will mean the footfall of the shopping center will grow by, we anticipate conservatively, about 10%. So it was a deal that needed to be done, but not at any price.
Not at any price, exactly. Now, your trading stats are good, despite that Sunday trading ban that we did mention. I see one concern is cash flow from operations has dipped, something that I guess management will be looking at.
Yeah, I mean, from a cash flow perspective, the M1 deal increased, let me give the right page, we increased our net property income by 45% to 66 million and our distributable income to 48 million, and that's up by 32%. What we also did in the first half of this year is we've also pushed out our debt profile. So now we have only 11 million euros of debt expiring in 2020. So all of our average debt maturity now is 4.3 years.
Yeah, the loan to values are certainly heading in the right direction there. What are you going to be focusing on in the second half? As I said, you've got those two new centres in the capital, Warsaw, on your hands, and quite clearly building up a very sizable retail portfolio.
Yeah, I mean, by 2020, we will own we'll own 28 shopping centres. What's significant about that is that will give us about 1 million square meters of GLA. And what is particularly significant of that is 40% of the population in Poland will be within a 30-minute drive time. And the reason why that is so significant in Poland is that 50% of all e-commerce is click and collect. So what retailers are looking for is a landlord that can give them access to that 40% of the most wealthy part of the Polish population.
Does that also perhaps or possibly present an opportunity to get into industrial property, warehouses and the like?
No, we really believe in believe the biggest growth you'll see in any of the asset classes in property will be in retail. Poland is now at a tipping point. You have this middle class that's consuming like Western Europeans, and we believe the biggest growth will be in retail.
That was EPP CEO Hadley Dean, and that's also the end of Classic Business this week. An evening of great music in store for our Cape Town listeners with Rod Miller. And in Joburg, Carolyn Steyn is getting ready for her double bill of classic cocktails to take you into the weekend. Have a super one, folks. Till Monday, make it count.